Their mission will consist in educating and briefing the future colonists on everything they need to know about the conditions on Mars. My personal task will be detailing the recent events regarding the liberation of Mars, because I was involved in the first raid and several other missions with the Resistance. In 4 days' time, I will escort the colony ship to the Sol system, to Mars. The group of scientists, ethnologists and technicians will stay on Celo. You went to Siluin, one of Celoa TMS moons, a few weeks ago, to escort officials to a secret meeting. Was it related to this project? Yes, it was, you are right, and the meeting on Ganymede that I showed you, between the Intergalactic Confederation and the heads of the Martian Resistance, was also related to this project. Everything is in place now. Icarna TMT help asking this, is Elon Musk involved in all of that? Yes, very prominently. I cannot disclose freely when it comes to Elon Musk, I am only an officer bound to respect the strict orders from my hierarchy. There is a lot involved when it comes to him. I understand. Thank you. Thorhan saying hi from a Martian biodome. During the following weeks, I had the exciting privilege to see though Thorhan at TMSI's some glimpses of the work on Mars in the new colony. The inside of the Martian biodomes were interesting, I could watch some personnel growing plants on some long shelves going all around the interior of the domes. In the center were many devices. Thorhan was commuting to Mars regularly, nearly every day. A Martian day has more or less the same length as on Earth. He was assigned to overlook the supply of materiel brought by his ships, but I understood quickly that Ardeana had taken this opportunity to grant him a well-deserved break, away from the battle station. He could not TMT bring me on Mars with him because where there are Earthlings there are rules for Earthlings, and my presence would have drawn unwanted attention from Earth military. Thorhan is always amused by my obstinacy to go to Mars. He does not TMT get it. To me, it is more of a personal challenge. Curiosity, above all. Terraforming and Marsquakes April 27, 2022. One day, there was a huge storm on Mars and the equipment was tested by the raging atmospheric elements. This happened on April 27, 2022. Thorhan reported Mars quakes linked to new terraforming projects on Mars. NASA made later in May an announcement about Mars quakes of an intensity never seen before. On that day of April 27, I could connect with Thorhan who was visiting the Ares Prime station. This is a very old station, originally built by the Dark Fleet. Now that Mars had been liberated a year before, Ares Prime Station was given back to the locals and the people who worked and lived there. So I get to see a glimpse of the inside of the station, as Thorhan was visiting a maintenance area, an immense hangar with machines. Ares Prime was built by Earthlings with the help of Chakotay Reptilians, so it is not the best a high-tech ATM architecture. Thorhan was having a conversation with two Martian engineers, both wearing red and black uniforms. One of the engineers was an Earth human and the other an extraterrestrial with dark grey eyes, pale skin and an elongated skull. They walked down a very steep metallic staircase. I asked Thorhan telepathically for the reason for his presence there, because it had nothing to do with his assignment with the Alpha Centaurian colony. He replied that there had been a severe seismic activity due to the recent terraforming operations that have started on Mars. So Ares Prime was slightly damaged but not enough to worry about. He also added that the name of Ares Prime will be changed and when I asked who will decide, he replied the Martians, it is theirs now. A Thorhan then explained that this base is now shared with Martian reptilians and local Earth military. After the liberation of Mars, most of the personnel and residents of Ares Prime wished to stay, and there are a lot of people. Thorhan visiting the old Ares Prime Martian facility after a burst of seismic activity resulting from the terraforming of the planet. He is here in the company of two officer engineers from the station. Interesting to see the different uniforms. Ares Prime, as Thorhan continued, will be seen in the future as a memorial place for the Martian Wars. Although, it will still be in use and very active due to its amazing underground infrastructure. On May 11, 2022, I was baffled by the official news from NASA and several scientific websites. It was announcing that a series of Amundsen quake ESA had been recorded on Mars in the last weeks and that it was the biggest seismic activity ever recorded on another planet. A New Earth. Transmission from Thorhan, March 28, 2022. The core of Terra is warming up, due to the acceleration of frequency that gradually changes the electromagnetic field of the planet. We are entering now into a more stable higher density zone, and the conflicting shifts that have been occurring during the last few weeks are going to continue intensifying until it clashes and the new timeline breaks free. It is time when those who are meant to wake up and embrace the new upcoming moments of eternity. You are here, on this planet, knowing that this world will continue to grow and prosper, and inflate into a faster density of matter and existence. You are here, you will lead them, tell them that they must not fear, that this is the change they have been waiting for a long time. I promise you, it is going to be beautiful. Ao magnifique. I am so glad we will soon meet on the same level. Pass on this message to them. What about the core of the Earth warming up? I asked. It will cause some changes, but nothing worth worrying about. You are here, in this moment, and you can witness, down there from the ground, this great change. Terrans are about to break free. Ignore the wars, ignore the screams and the attacks, this is all noise. This is the old world breaking away from you, from us. We succeeded, we made it. And now, well, tell them, they decide what they want to do. For the first time, they have this power. The ships are coming, the Guardians are on the outer orbit of Terra, four ships for the moment. They are watching, in timed dilation. Suspended in time like the old Oumuamua. It was one of their ships. It has activated. The ones in the ice belt have activated too. And all the others, one by one, on all the planets. Neptune is next. You will see, you will hear about Neptune soon. But don't TMT forget to tell them, they are lucky and privileged to see this. Ancient technology retrieved from Lunar June 10, 2022. Thorhan was running quite in a hurry to a cargo bay on the Excelsior, the battle mothership of the Galactic Federation of Worlds in this star system. It is always a great enjoyment for me to see him walking through this mothership because I can see the decor and the corridors with big bay windows looking out to space. Sometimes you see a little bit of the curvature of the Earth. ETRTMS beautiful, the moon when ETRTMS near. He teleported himself twice from teleportation pads inside the station. When he arrived in the cargo bay, there was a lot of agitation. I asked why he was working with the cargo bay, as he is a fleet commander. He replied, "Well, because my fleet was in charge of a mission and I need to supervise." His ships had brought back from the moon strange materiel. A cargo had arrived and there were a lot of people walking around with excitement. What was brought back were big bods, but not as you can imagine. They were like lifeboats or life support devices. The shapes looked organic, similar to butterfly chrysalis but hard and solid. The colors were brownish black with some yellow, and the size was about 13 feet long and about 6 feet high. These pods are in fact a very old technology, Thorhan said to me. What kind of technology? I asked. Where does it come from? My fleet retrieved it from Luna, Terra TMS Moon. Wow. Is that linked to with the Arcs and the Cedars? Nothing to do with the Arc on Luna, it is something way more ancient than that. It came with Luna when this moon was brought into this solar system, and it stayed there. This technology was always there, belonging to the people who brought this moon here into this star system. It is not the Galactic Federation of Worlds, but another organization. Hey, wait a minute. Alex Collier, 20 years ago. Told us that the moon was brought by the Andromedans into our star system. Is that the Zeni you are talking about? Thorhan smiled. Okay, I said, you can't TMT tell, but you told me, thank you. This technology came with the people who brought this moon into our star system. These devices that you see are not living beings but chests. Inside them are tools and technology devices. This chrysalis-looking envelope is a sort of protective time capsule. It keeps this technology on life support. So it is alive then? Well, it is an organic technology. Something that they haven't TMT yet understood on Terra. Some of our cultures use technologies that are organic, but not biologic. A good example is the ships of the Intergalactic Confederation. These pods have nothing to do with the Cedars, but it is a very similar technology. A lady arrived. She was wearing a white smart suit with some black stripes on the front. She had brown straight hair with bangs, and clear blue-gray eyes. She could have been a Dal. Her name was Dara, and she was in charge of the transfer of the pods. She was coming from Luna, where she works. She interrupted our communication, but I could follow their conversation. They were talking about the transfer of these pods and the fact that scientists were coming. Thorhan told her that she needed to hang around a little bit longer because the scientists were on their way. So, I said, scientists are on their way from where? From the science vessel of the Federation, Thorhan replied. So why did you send these pods directly to the science vessel? Because they need to be protected. From who? This is the procedure. There are no more enemies in the Sol system, but the regular procedure requires a military management. Things are done that way, that a TMS all. Why are you retrieving these only now? Because until recently this moon was in the hands of the Nepu and they could never crack this technology. It was buried very, very deep beneath the surface of Luna. Everybody knew it was there, but as long as the Nepu held this moon there was no way to retrieve this technology. As I related in my previous book AO We Will Never Let You Down, the Earth a TMS moon was liberated in February 2021 and the off-planet war was over in this star system a few months later. Since then, there was a rush for taking back the Lunar Operations Command base and all the evacuated bases on the moon, which fell in the hands of the Earth Alliance and the Galactic Federation of Worlds. Now that things have calmed down, the Galactic Federation of Worlds can take care of retrieving this technology from the moon. It will probably be given back to the Zeni, I suppose. Before I disconnected with Thorhan, the scientists arrived in the cargo bay. What was interesting is that there was one guy whose race I had never seen before. Who is this scientist? I thought. He is one of the Intergalactic Confederation of TMS scientists. They came as well to have a look. His culture is Ormung. He was the last person I saw before I ended contact with Thorhan and I focused my attention on detailing what this guy looked like. It is always extraordinary and mesmerizing to meet new races and cultures. So, Ao Ormunga was the name of his race. He was humanoid. He wore a yellow jumpsuit made from a thick fabric, with a brown patch across his chest, a round gold insignia on it with a half circle in it. He had a brown shoulder patch and a clear brown density belt, so it means he was of a higher density. His face structure was unusual. He had brown skin, very short creamy blonde hair, an angular face very pronounced in the front, a thin hooked nose and clear intense green eyes that were set wide apart on either side. He was smaller than Thorhan. Contrarily to what Thorhan supposed was inside, after examination, it didn't TMT contain any tools but these pods were in truth real chrysalis, containing groups of seed souls in stasis. These precious artifacts were given back to the Zeni. The Zeni seed soul pods retrieved from Luna, with Thorhan behind it for scale, Tal Officer Dara from the Luna GFW facility, and an Ormung scientist from the Intergalactic Confederation. A higher place July 5, 2022. I was taken on July 5, 2022 on board Thorhan a TMS command ship for a short leisure trip at the boundaries of this star system. He wanted to show me something new, as he always likes to say. We quickly reached out to the plasma belt, which is a spherical wall of hot interstellar plasma shielding our star system from outer space radiations, particles and other threats. Thorhan asked me to pay a profound attention to what my body was going to experience as we passed through the shield. So I sat back in my co-pilot chair and relaxed. The plasma belt approached at great speed and hit us like a wall of golden light. While passing through, I felt no change in me, but as we reached the other side, I brutally felt my whole physical body fizzy for a few seconds. Thorhan held onto me a frequency belt. "Put that on," he said. As I did so, all sensations dropped back to normal. "Oh my goodness," I said, "there is a frequency discrepancy between the inside and the outside of this star system. Iatmv never experienced that before. Is that new?" "That a TMS new. This star system is now immersed in the fifth density frequency zone." "What is it about the plasma shield, then?" "The plasma shield has by nature nothing to do with it. We happen to use it as a frequency transformer. This star system is already in the fifth density zone, but because of what happens on Terra at the moment, we prefer making the transition smoother, otherwise it would be too chaotic down there. We regulate the rising in frequency ourselves. I just wanted to show you that. You can tell them." On August 8, 2022, I received this transmission from Una in response to a question concerning the threat of a potential solar flash that would cause an extinction event on Earth. "Ao, your star is undergoing a transformation, but not as you conceive. It is adjusting to the area of Nataru your star system has recently entered. This is a galactic zone with a higher frequency. Because the frequency of your star system was lowered down by the previous invaders, and then unlocked by the excellent work of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, it needs adjustment to avoid the frequency shock. Your star, however, responds to the resonance of this higher frequency and it has started shifting. This solar shifting has no devastating effect, but it will be felt in many different ways. The shift of a star system always originates first from the star. This is a natural law. Many times in the past, evacuation occurred. It was always due to wars. An evacuation plan was always in reserve, in case if necessary. But I can assure you that no extinction event will happen. We create stars, worlds, we seed life, we fractalize the very consciousness of Source and embed it into planetary matrices. If your star, Sol, would naturally become a sudden threat to all life on Terra, one of our proudest achievements, we would prevent it. We have the power to do this. We cannot stop wars to ignite and to extinguish empires, but we have the power to ignite and extinguish the stars. You are safe. Una.A. Meet the coldest our journey to Neptune. On July 16, 2022, I was teleported on board the Excelsior, the battle station of the Galactic Federation of Worlds. Thorhan welcomed me in a place which I never visited before, bathed with light and with a lot of people walking around. When I turned back, feeling a presence behind me, I had the great surprise and joy to recognize my old friend Saladin, the pilot who was on board the ship who rescued me when I was 9 years old, and who also participated in a second rescue in December 2020. Saladin wore his pilot blue shimmering uniform. We were very happy to meet again. We walked to a recreational area in the station. There were bright high ceilings, and I could see the usual cold plasma lamps floating above our heads. We sat in a semicircular couch, in front of an oval low table. The place was agreeably animated by a joyful crowd, in a very nice atmosphere. The light, gleaming, was really amazing. I asked Saladin what he was up to these days. I had not TMT seen him for at least a year. He replied that he is working now for a temporary assignment as cargo ship pilot for a mining facility in the rings of Neptune, held by the Galactic Federation of Worlds. The mineral resources are treated, refined and brought to the outposts and colonies on Neptune, which is mainly a water world. The cities are principally underwater, but there are as well floating facilities. Saladin told me that soon, when he will have the clearance, he will take me there to show me. I was very excited at this idea. Saladin enjoys his temporary assignment as a cargo ship pilot. He said it's RTMS a distraction and a new adventure that changes him from driving a scout ship around the Earth, which he has done for many years. There are at the moment, as he explained, no more combats in our Sol Star system. So the Galactic Federation of Worlds needs to get the soldiers occupied. So I asked him his perspective on some questions I had, and here is our conversation. When Earth will officially join membership with the Galactic Federation of Worlds, I asked, will Earth people be obliged to join forces in other wars? Oh yes, Saladin replied, this is how we work. We help you and in return you help us. War continues out of this star system. This star system is now an oasis of peace, but outside the plasma belt there are still despicable conflicts. The Chico and the Nebu are trying to get back in. Saving populations and welcoming them into their membership is how the Galactic Federation of Worlds grows. Empires grow to challenge each other, in more and more powerful wars. So you believe that if the Nebu and the Chico were not here in this galaxy, maybe there wouldn't be any more wars? Well, the Nebu bring balance. There will always be wars anyway, smaller local ones. But this is how Source is challenging intelligence and resilience, for evolution. This was a nice conversation with my old friend Saladin, and it was interesting to have his own personal perspective, as a pilot, on the current events. What do you think about the new Earth Star Fleet, I asked, which is at the moment called Artemis or Space Command. I heard stories about how more and more countries of Terra are joining the Earth Space Federation. This is a growing organization that will ensure peace and safety in this star system. Now that Earth is safe from outer space invaders, do you think that the Galactic Federation of Worlds remain in our star system? Of course. We will keep an outpost here because you are about to become members. You are in a probation period. It is just a question of time. We will always be there and work with you together, sharing our technology with your people. Your moon Luna is the place where all these new shared technologies are in the process of being developed and built, and when the time is ready, it will be implemented on Terra very quickly. Times are going to speed up, just be ready. On July 25, 2022, I got my lift to Neptune. The actual trip lasted the whole day, but I was brought back in time to only 1 hour after my departure. Thorhan gave me notice in the morning and he picked me up in the middle of the afternoon, which is an unusual time. He never sets a precise time for safety reasons. I was beamed on board a scout ship of the Federation and Saladin was there, always sparkly with joy and energy. The lads invited me to the command room and I noticed straight away that the settings were sort of upgraded. The walls were rounder and the materials more smooth and luminescent white. Saladin invited me to sit in the co-pilot seat and I politely declined, not sure about my skills. "Ayo, come on," said Thorhan, "we've done that before, you will enjoy it." As I took place into the seat, it adapted to my body shape and I let out a little cry of surprise. I know it does that, but the sensation is always fun. Thorhan let me place my arms on the inside lower armrests. The external ones have all the commands and I am not touching that. I extended my hands forward and opened my palms above the two hexagonal green glass pads, preparing myself mentally for the interface with the ship, taking a few deep breaths. As I explained it in my previous books, it works via DNA resonance. "Aoi at me ready," I said Saladin, running his long fingers through holographic screens. Thorhan briefly waved his hand above a console and a third seat materialized from the ground. "Wow!" I exclaimed. "That a TMS a new feature." "The latest model of scout ships," Thorhan answered while sitting in the middle chair. "We at MV integrated some technology from our intergalactic friends." "It RTMS awesome," Saladin added with enthusiasm. "The target is set, Elena. You only have to give impulse power. Whenever you're ready." I took a deep breath. As long as I wasn't TMT in charge of the navigation, it was all good. The Mars incident traumatized me slightly. Ayo, we will never let you down. 2021. So I applied my palms on the interface pads with confidence. I instantly received in my mind a wave of frequencies and light geometrical patterns. It was the artificial consciousness of the ship interfacing with my mind. I remember, the first time I did it, it was the Mars episode, when I nearly crashed the ship. Consciousness interface requires skills and training, which I don't yet excel into. Well, at least, not yet. So I gave the impulse by thought, projecting the ship ahead into the void of space, and I only had to focus on keeping the pace, as the trajectory to Neptune was automatically set. Saladin excited to show me some new features on the scout ship. The GFW mining station in the rings of Neptune. A few minutes later we already approached the magnificent blue planet and its thin elegant silver ring. Without me doing anything, the ship stopped. I understood that we had reached the target point, a location in high orbit of Neptune. The part of the ring exposed to the distant sunlight was glittering like silver and showed a rusty reddish color in the shadow side. I didn't manage to count how many concentric rings were there, but it seemed probably 5 or 6. The show was magnificent. This is when it happened, the flashing vision of a strange creature looking like a cross between a tengri and an amphibian appeared in my head for the duration of a second, then another one and a third one, and the fourth looked different. I tensed up in my chair, quite frightened. Thorhan laid a calming hand on my shoulder. "Theatma the Coldasay," he said with a reassuring voice, "an interdimensional collective of different races. How strange. They live on Neptune. On 2 planets of this system, Nara and Intu. Venus, and Neptune." "Yes," Thorhan replied. "They are telepathic only and they scan all ships on approach," Saladin said. "It is the normal procedure, more by curiosity than security. Sorry for the fright, we should have told you." Saladin took over the navigation from there and our ship flew towards a part of the bigger outer ring where the dust particles agglomerated to form a field of small rocky asteroids. There was located a huge mining station. Our ship entered a landing bay. The interior was dimmed and looking like how you can imagine a sci-fi mining station in the outer rings of a distant planet. Thorhan asked me to put on an environmental suit, one of these white translucent very light space suits. He pressed a button on it, near the neck, and a transparent helmet appeared out of the metallic collar. I am unable to explain how that worked. I had gravity boots with it and a large density belt. Once all 3 of us were equipped, we went out of the ship into the busy landing bay. As we walked through it towards a higher platform, Thorhan explained to me that this facility was built by the Galactic Federation of Worlds a very long time ago, long before the Terran Wars, at the time when this star system was facing other conflicts. "Since the time you are mining these rings," I asked, "there shouldn't be any more rocks in it?" Thorhan laughed. "We are extracting a very precious metal," Saladin said, "in small quantity, respecting the gravitational balance of the rings and the moons. Anything up here affects everything down there on the planet." We climbed onto a semicircular platform that led to another hangar. "This is my ship," Saladin said as he pointed at a discoidal vehicle shaped a bit like a bell. "That a TMS cargo?" I asked, perplexed. "Yes," Saladin replied. "Okay. I was expecting more like him. A sort of long craft. Why does the Federation mine here? I mean, they don't own this system, right? So do they have the right to do that?" Saladin turned back to face me. His bright blue eyes were luminous. "This is not for the Federation," he said. "This is for the Coldasay. We mine for them the organ they need to maintain their density stable here, against free access to their portal." "The Coldasay," intervened Thorhan, "are in this system for so long that they are considered as natural residents. It's like if they have always been here, but in a parallel dimensional plane. Come and meet them. Saladin called to me from the footbridge leading down to a lower level, where the strange cargo ship was parked. We entered. The interior indeed was from a different epoch, older construct. It could have been Earth-made, although it was not.